Give me a drink of water before you leave, then. Janey dipped up a glass of water and brought it to the bed. Tea Cake took it and filled his mouth, then gagged horribly. Disgorged that which was in his mouth and threw the glass upon the floor. Janey was frantic with alarm. What makes you act like that with your drinking water, Tea Cake? You asked me to give it to you. That water, there's something wrong with it, and then it choked me to death. I told you, something jumped on me here last night and choked me. You come making out I was dreaming. Maybe it was a witch riding you, honey. I'll see can I find some mustard seed whilst I was out. But I'm sure to fetch the doctor when I'm come. Tea Cake didn't say anything against it, and Janey herself hurried off. This sickness to her was worse than the storm. As soon as she was well out of sight, Tea Cake got up and dumped the water bucket and washed it clean. Then he struggled to the irrigation pump and filled it again. He was not accusing Janey of malice and design. He was accusing her of carelessness. She ought to realize that water buckets needed washing like everything else. He'd tell her about it good and proper when she got back. What was she thinking about know-how? He found himself very angry about it. He eased the bucket on the table and sat down to rest before taking a drink. Finally, he dipped up a drink. It was so good and cool. Come to think about it, he hadn't had a drink since yesterday. That was what he needed to give him an appetite for his beans. He found himself wanting it very much, so he threw back his head as he rushed the glass to his lips. But the demon was there before him, strangling, killing him quickly. It was a great relief to expel the water from his mouth. He sprawled on the bed again and lay there, shivering, until Janey and the doctor arrived. The white doctor, who had been around so long that he was part of the muck, who told the workmen stories with brawny, sweaty words in them. He came into the house quickly, hat sitting on the left back corner of his head. "Hattie, Tea Cake, what the hell's the matter with you?"
"Wished I'd know, Dr. Simmons, but I sure is sick."
"Oh, no, Tea Cake. There's a thing wrong that a quarter goon dick wouldn't cure. You haven't been getting your right liquor lately, eh?" He slapped Tea Cake lustily across his back, and Tea Cake tried to smile as he was expected to do. But it was hard. The doctor opened up his bag and went to work.
"You do look a little peaky, Tea Cake. You got a temperature and your pulse is kind of off. What you been doing here lately?"
"Nothing except working and gaming, little doctor, but look like that water done turned against me."
"Water? How do you mean? Can't keep it on my stomach at all. What else?"
Janey came around the bed, full of concern. "Doctor, Tea Cake ain't telling you everything like you oughta. We was caught in that hurricane out here, and Tea Cake overstrained himself swimming such a long time and holding me up, too, and walking all them miles in the storm, and then before he could get his rest, he had to come get me out of the water again and fighting that big old dog. And the dog biting him in the face and everything. I've been expecting him to be sick for an hour."
"Dog bit him, did you say?" "Oh, 'twasn't nothing much, doctor. It was all healed over in 2-3 days,
Tea Cake said impatiently.
"That been over a month ago, nohow. This is something new, doctor. I figured the water is yet bad. It's bound to be. Too many dead folks been it for it to be good to drink for a long time. That's the way I figures it anyhow." "All right, Tea Cake. I'll send you some medicine and tell Janey how to take care of you. Anyhow, I want you in a bed by yourself until you hear from me. Just you keep Janey out of your bed for a while, here. Come on out to the car with me, Janey. I want to send Tea Cake some pills to take right away."
Outside, he fumbled in his bag and gave Janey a tiny bottle with a few pellets inside. "Give him one of these every hour. To keep him quiet, Janey. And stay out of his way when he gets in one of his fits of gagging and choking."
"How you know he's having them, doctor? That's just what I come out here to tell you."
"Janey, I'm pretty sure that was a mad dog bit your husband. Too late to get hold of the dog's head, but the symptoms is all there. It's mighty bad that it's gone on so long. Some shots right after it happened would have fixed him right up."
"You mean he's liable to die, doctor?"
Sure is. But the worst thing is, he's liable to suffer something awful before he goes.
Doctor, I loves him fit to kill. Tell me anything to do and I'll do it.
But the only thing you can do, Janie, is to put him in the county hospital where they can tie him down and look after him.
But he don't like no hospital at all. He'd think I was tired of doing for him when God knows I ain't. I can't stand the idea of us tying Tea Cake like he was a mad dog.
It almost amounts to that, Janie. He's got almost no chance to pull through, and he's liable to bite somebody else, especially you. And then you'll be in the same fix he's in. It's mighty bad.
Can't nothing be done for his case, Doctor. I mean, us got plenty of money in the bank in Orlando, Doctor. See, can't you do something special to save him? I mean,
anything it costs, Doctor, I don't care.
But please, Doctor,
do what I can. I'll phone into Palm Beach right away for the serum, which he should have had 3 weeks ago. I'll do all I can to save him, Janie, but it looks too late. People in his condition can't swallow water, you know. And in other ways, it's terrible.
Janie fooled around outside a while to try and think it wasn't so. If she didn't see the sickness in his face, she could imagine it wasn't really happening. Well, she thought, that big old dog with the hatred in his eyes had killed her after all. She wished she had slipped off that cow tail and drowned then and there and been done. But to kill her through Tea Cake was too much to bear. Tea Cake, the son of Evening Sun, had to die for loving her. She looked hard at the sky for a long time. Somewhere up there beyond Blue Ether's bosom sat he. Was he noticing what was going on around here? He must be, because he knew everything. Did he mean to do this thing to Tea Cake and her? It wasn't anything she could fight. She could only ache and wait. Maybe it was some big tease, and when he saw it had gone far enough, he'd give her a sign. She looked hard for something up there to move, for a sign. A star in the daytime, maybe, or the sun to shout, or even a mutter of thunder. Her arms went up in a desperate supplication for a minute. It wasn't exactly pleading. It was asking questions. The sky stayed hard-looking and quiet, so she went inside the house. God would do less than he had in his heart. Tea Cake was lying with his eyes closed, and Janie hoped he was asleep. He wasn't. A great fear had took hold of him. What was this thing that set his brains afire and grabbed at his throat with iron fingers? Where did it come from, and why did it hang around him? He hoped it would stop before Janie noticed anything. He wanted to try to drink water again, but he didn't want her to see him fail. As soon as she got out of the kitchen, he meant to go to the bucket and drink right quick before anything had time to stop him. No need to worry Janie until he couldn't help it. He heard her cleaning out the stove and saw her go out back to empty the ashes. He leaped at the bucket at once, but this time the sight of the water was enough. He was on the kitchen floor in great agony when she returned. She petted him, soothed him, and got him back to bed. She made up her mind to go see about that medicine from Palm Beach. Maybe she could find somebody to drive over there for it.
Feel better now, Tea Cake, baby child.
Uh-huh. A little.
Well, believe I'll rake up the front yard. The Menzies got cane chewings and peanut hulls all over the place. Don't want the doctor to come back here and find it still the same.
Don't take too long, Janie. Don't like to be by myself when I'm sick.
She ran down the road just as fast as she could. Halfway to town, she met Sopdibottom and Dockery coming towards her.
Hello, Janie. How's Tea Cake?
Pretty bad off. I'm going to see about medicine for him right now.
Doctor told somebody he was sick, so us come to see. Thought something, he never come to work.
Y'all sit with him till I get back. He need the company right long in here. She fanned on down the road to town and found Dr. Simmons. Yes, he had had an answer. They didn't have any serum, but they had wired Miami to send it. She needn't worry. It would be there early the next morning, if not before. People didn't fool around in a case like that. No, it wouldn't do for her to hire an old car to go after it. Just go home and wait, that was all. When she reached home, the visitors rose to go. When they were alone, T-Kate wanted to put his head in Janie's lap and tell her how he felt and let her mama him in her sweet way. But something Sop had told him made his tongue lie cold and heavy, like a dead lizard between his jaws. Mrs. Turner's brother was back on the muck, and now he had this mysterious sickness. People didn't just take sick like this for nothing.
Janie, what is that Turner woman's brother doing back on the muck?
Well, I don't know, T-Cake. Didn't he know that he was back?
According to my notion, you did. What'd you slip off from me just now for?
T-Cake, I don't like you asking me no such question. That shows how sick you is showing up. You was jealous without me giving you cause.
Yeah. What did you slip off from the house without telling me you was going? You ain't never done that before.
That was cause I was trying not to let you worry about your condition. The doctor sent after some more medicine, and I went to see if it come. T-Cake began to cry, and Janie hovered him in her arms like a child. She sat on the side of the bed and sort of rocked him back to peace. T-Cake, 'tain't no use in you being jealous of me. In the first place, I couldn't love nobody but you. And in the second place, I just an old woman that nobody don't want but you.
No, you ain't either. You only sound old when you tell folks when you was born. But with the eye, you's young enough to suit most any man. That ain't no lie. I knows plenty more men would take you and work hard for the privilege. I done heard them talk.
Maybe so, T-Cake. I ain't never tried to find out. I just know that God snatched me out the fire through you. And I loves you and feel glad.
Thank you, ma'am. But don't say you's old. You's a little girl baby all the time. God made it so you spent your old age first with somebody else and saved up your young girl days to spend with me.
I feel that way too, T-Cake, and I thank you for saying it.
'Tain't no trouble to say what's already so. You's a pretty woman outside of being nice.
Wow, T-Cake.
Yeah, you is too. Every time I see a patch of roses or something over sporting their sales making out they pretty, I tell them, I want you to see my Janie sometime. You must let the flowers see you sometimes. Yeah, Janie?
You keep that up, T-Cake. I'll believe you after a while, Janie said archly and fixed him back in bed. It was then she felt the pistol under the pillow. It gave her a quick, ugly throb. But she didn't ask him about it, since he didn't say. Never had T-Cake slept with a pistol under his head before.
Never mind about all that cleaning around the front yard, he told her as she straightened up from fixing the bed. You stay where I can see you.
All right, T-Cake, just as you say.
And if Miss Turner's lap-leg brother come prowling by here, you can tell him I got him stopped with four-wheel brakes. Tell neither him standing around watching the job.
I won't be telling him nothing, 'cause I don't expect to see him. T-Cake had two bad attacks that night. Janie saw a changing look come in his face. T-Cake was gone. Something else was looking out of his face.
She made up her mind to be off after the doctor with the first glow of day, so she was up and dressed when Tea Cake awoke from the fitful sleep that had come to him just before day. He almost snarled when he saw her dress to go.
Where you going, Janie?
After the doctor, Tea Cake. You's too sick to be here in this house without the doctor. Maybe we ought to get you to the hospital.
I ain't going to no hospital nowhere. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Guess you tired of waiting on me and doing for me. That ain't the way I've been with you. I never is been able to do enough for you.
T.K., you sick. You taking everything in the way I don't mean it. I could never be tired of waiting on you. I'm just scared you's too sick for me to handle. I want you to get well, honey, that's all.
He gave her a look full of blank ferocity and gurgled in his throat. She saw him sitting up in bed and moving about so that he could watch her every move, and she was beginning to feel fear of this strange thing in Tea Cake's body. So when he went out to the outhouse, she rushed to see if the pistol was loaded. It was a six-shooter, and three of the chambers were full. She started to unload it, but she feared he might break it and find out she knew. That might urge his disordered mind to action, if that medicine would only come. She whirled the cylinder so that if he even did draw the gun on her, it would snap three times before it would fire. She would at least have warning. She could either run or try to take it away before it was too late. Anyway, Tea Cake wouldn't hurt her. He was jealous and wanted to scare her. She'd just be in the kitchen as usual and never let on. They'd laugh over it when he got well. She found the box of cartridges, however, and emptied it. Just as well to take the rifle from back of the head of the bed. She broke it and put the shell in her apron pocket and put it in a corner in the kitchen, almost behind the stove, where it was hard to see. She could outrun his knife if it came to that. Of course, she was too fussy. But it did no harm to play safe. She ought not to let poor, sick Tea Cake do something that would run him crazy when he found out what he had done. She saw him coming from the outhouse with a queer, loping gait, swinging his head from side to side and his jaws clenched in a funny way. This was too awful. Where was Dr. Simmons with that medicine? She was glad she was here to look after him. Folks would do such mean things to her Tea Cake if they saw him in such a fix. Treat Tea Cake like he was some mad dog when nobody in the world had more kindness about them. All he needed was for the doctor to come on with that medicine. He came back into the house without speaking. In fact, he did not seem to notice she was there, and fell heavily into the bed and slept. Janie was standing by the stove, washing up the dishes, when he spoke to her in a queer, cold voice.
Janie, how come you can't sleep in the same bed with me no more?
The doctor told you to sleep by yourself, T.K. Don't you remember him telling you that yesterday?
How come you rather sleep on a pallet than to sleep in the bed with me?
Janie saw then that he had the gun in his hand that was hanging to his side.
Answer me when I speak.
Tea Cake, honey, go lay down. I'll be too glad to be in there with you the minute the doctor says so. Go lay back down. He'll be here with some new medicine right away.
Janie, I done went through everything to be good to you. And it hurt me to my heart to be ill-treated like I is.
The gun came up unsteadily but quickly and leveled at Janie's breast. She noted that even in his delirium, he took good aim. Maybe he would point it to scare her, that was all. The pistol snapped once. Instinctively, Janie's hand flew behind her on the rifle and brought it around.
Most likely this would scare him off. If only the doctor would come. If anybody at all would come.
She broke the rifle deftly and shoved in the shell as a second click told her that Tea Cake's suffering brain was urging him on to kill.
Tea Cake, put down that gun and go back to bed,
Janie yelled at him as the gun wavered weakly in his hand. He steadied himself against the jamb of the door, and Janie thought to run into him and grab his arm, but she saw the quick motion of taking aim and heard the click, saw the ferocious look in his eyes, and went mad with fear, as she had done in the water that time. She threw up the barrel of the rifle in frenzied hope and fear, hope that he'd see it and run, desperate fear for her life. But if Tea Cake could have counted costs, he would not have been there with the pistol in his hands. No knowledge of fear, nor rifles, nor anything else was there. He paid no more attention to the pointing gun than if it were Janie's dog finger. She saw him stiffen himself all over as he leveled and took aim. The fiend in him must kill, and Janie was the only thing living he saw. The pistol and the rifle rang out almost together. The pistol, just enough after the rifle to seem its echo. Tea Cake crumpled as his bullet buried itself in the joist over Janie's head. Janie saw the look on his face and leaped forward as he crashed forward in her arms. She was trying to hover him as he closed his teeth in the flesh of her forearm. They came down heavily like that. Janie struggled to a sitting position and pried the dead Tea Cake's teeth from her arm. It was the meanest moment of eternity. A minute before, she was just a scared human being fighting for its life. Now she was her sacrificing self, with Tea Cake's head in her lap. She had wanted him to live so much, and he was dead. No hour is ever eternity, but it has its right to weep. Janie held his head tightly to her breast and wept and thanked him wordlessly for giving her the chance for loving service. She had to hug him tight, for soon he would be gone. And she had to tell him for the last time. Then the grief of outer darkness descended. So that same day of Janie's great sorrow, she was in jail. And when the doctor told the sheriff and the judge how it was, they all said she must be tried that same day. No need to punish her in jail by waiting. 3 hours in jail, and then they set the court for her case. The time was short and everything, but sufficient people were there. Plenty of white people came to look on this strangeness, and all the Negroes for miles around. Who was it didn't know about the love between Tea Cake and Janie? The court set, and Janie saw the judge, who had put on a great robe, to listen about her and Tea Cake. And 12 more white men had stopped whatever they were doing to listen and pass on what happened between Janie and Tea Cake Woods, and as to whether things were done right or not. That was funny, too. 12 strange men who didn't know a thing about people like Tea Cake and her were going to sit on the thing. 8 or 10 white women had come to look at her, too. They wore good clothes and had the pinky color that comes of good food. They were nobody's poor white folks. What need had they to leave their richness to come look on Janie in her overalls? But they didn't seem too mad, Janie thought. It would be nice if she could make them know how it was, instead of those men folks. Oh, and she hoped that undertaker was fixing Tea Cake up fine. They ought to let her go see about it. Yes, and there was Mr. Prescott that she knew right well. And he was going to tell the 12 men to kill her for shooting Tea Cake. And a strange man from Palm Beach who was going to ask them not to kill her. And none of them knew. Then she saw all of the colored people standing up in the back of the courtroom, packed tight like a case of celery, only much darker than that. They were all against her, she could see. So many were there against her that a light slap from each one of them would have beat her to death. She felt them pelting her with dirty thoughts. They were there with their tongues cocked and loaded, the only real weapon left to weak folks, the only killing tool they were allowed to use in the presence of white folks. So it was already after a while, and they wanted people to talk so that they could know what was right to do about Janie Woods, the relic of Tea Cake's Janie. The white part of the room got calmer the more serious it got, but a tongue storm struck the Negroes like wind among palm trees. They talked all of a sudden and all together like a choir, and the top parts of their bodies moved on the rhythm of it. They sent word by the bailiff to Mr. Prescott they wanted to testify in the case. Tea Cake was a good boy. He had been good to that woman. No nigger woman ain't never been treated no better. Nossa. He worked like a dog for her and nearly killed himself, saving her in the storm. Then soon as he got a little fever from the water, she took up with another man, sent for him to come there from way off. Hanging was too good. All they wanted was a chance to testify. The bailiff went up, and the sheriff, and the judge, and the police chief, and the lawyers all came together to listen for a few minutes. Then they parted again, and the sheriff took the stand and told how Janie had come to his house with the doctor, and how he found things when he drove out to hers. Then they called Dr. Simmons, and he told about Tea Cake's sickness and how dangerous it was for Janie and the whole town, and how he was scared for her and thought to have Tea Cake locked up in the jail, but seeing Janie's care, he neglected to do it, and how he found Janie all bit in the arm, sitting on the floor and petting Tea Cake's head when he got there. And the pistol right by his hand on the floor. Then he stepped down.
"Any further evidence to present, Mr. Prescott?" the judge asked. "No, Your Honor. The state rests." The palm tree dance began again among the Negroes in the back. They had come to talk. The state couldn't rest until it heard.
"Mr. Prescott, I got something to say."
Sopty Bottom spoke out anonymously from the anonymous herd. The courtroom swung around on itself to look.
"If you know what's good for you, you better shut your mouth up till somebody calls you," Mr. Prescott told him coldly.
"Yes, Mr. Prescott."
"We are handling this case. Another word out of you, out of any of you niggas back there, and I'll bind you over to the big court."
"Yes, sir."
The white women made a little applause, and Mr. Prescott glared at the back of the house and stepped down. Then the strange white man who was going to talk for her got up there. He whispered a little with the clerk, and then called on Janie to take the stand and talk. After a few little questions, he told her to tell just how it happened, and to speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help her God. They all leaned over to listen while she talked. First thing she had to remember was she was not at home. She was in the courthouse fighting something, and it wasn't death. It was worse than that. It was lying thoughts. She had to go way back to let them know how she and Tea Cake had been with one another, so they could see she could never shoot Tea Cake out of malice. She tried to make them see how terrible it was that things were fixed so that Tea Cake couldn't come back to himself until he had got rid of that mad dog that was in him. And he couldn't get rid of the dog and live. He had to die to get rid of the dog. But she hadn't wanted to kill him. A man is up against a hard game when he must die to beat it. She made them see how she couldn't ever want to be rid of him. She didn't plead to anybody. She just sat there and told, and when she was through, she hushed. She'd been through for some time before the judge and the lawyer and the rest seemed to know it. But she sat on in that trial chair until the lawyer told her she could come down. "The defense rests," her lawyer said. Then he and Prescott whispered together, and both of them talked to the judge in secret up high, there where he sat. Then they both sat down. "Gentlemen of the jury, it is for you to decide whether the defendant has committed a cold-blooded murder or whether she is a poor, broken creature, a devoted wife, trapped by unfortunate circumstances, who really, in firing a rifle bullet into the heart of her late husband, did a great act of mercy. If you find her a wanton killer, you must bring in a verdict of first-degree murder. If the evidence does not justify that, then you must set her free. There is no middle course." The jury filed out, and the courtroom began to drone with talk. A few people got up and moved about, and Janie sat like a lump and waited. It was not death she feared. It was misunderstanding. If they made a verdict that she didn't want tea cake and wanted him dead, then that was a real sin and a shame. It was worse than murder. Then the jury was back again, out 5 minutes by the courthouse clock. "We find the death of Virgil Woods to be entirely accidental and justifiable, and that no blame should rest upon the defendant, Janie Woods." So she was free, and the judge and everybody up there smiled with her and shook her hand. And the white women cried and stood around her like a protecting wall, and the Negroes with heads hung down shuffled out and away. The sun was almost down, and Janie had seen the sunrise on her troubled love, and then she had shot tea cake and had been in jail and had been tried for her life, and now she was free. Nothing to do with the little that was left of the day but to visit the kind white friends who had realized her feelings and thank them. So the sun went down. She took a room at the boarding house for the night and heard the men talking around the front. "Oh, you know them white men wasn't going to do nothing for no woman that looked like her. She didn't kill no white man, did she? Well, as long as she don't shoot no white man, she can kill just as many niggas as she please. Yep, the nigger women can kill up all the men they wants to. But you bet not kill one of them. The white folks will sure hang you if you do." "Well, you know what they say. A white man and a nigger woman is the freest thing on earth. They do as they please." Janie buried tea cake in Palm Beach. She knew he loved the Glades, but it was too low for him to lie with water maybe washing over him with every heavy rain. Anyway, the Glades and its waters had killed him. She wanted him out of the way of storms, so she had a strong vault built in the cemetery at West Palm Beach. Janie had wired to Orlando for money to put him away. Tea cake was the son of evening sun, and nothing was too good. The undertaker did a handsome job, and Tea Cake slept royally on his white silken couch among the roses she had bought. He looked almost ready to grin. Janie bought him a brand new guitar and put it in his hands. He would be thinking of new songs to play to her when she got there. Sop and his friends had tried to hurt her, but she knew it was because they loved tea cake and didn't understand. So she sent Sup word and to all the others through him. So the day of the funeral, they came with shame and apology in their faces. They wanted her quick forgetfulness. So they filled up and overflowed the 10 sedans that Janie had hired and added others to the line. Then the band played, and Tea Cake rode like a pharaoh to his tomb. No expensive veils and robes for Janie this time. She went on in her overalls. She was too busy feeling grief to dress like grief. Because they really loved Janie just a little less than they had loved Tea Cake, and because they wanted to think well of themselves, they wanted their hostile attitude forgotten. So they blamed it all on Mrs. Turner's brother and ran him off the muck again. They'd show him about coming back there, posing like he was good-looking and putting himself where men's wives could look at him. Even if they didn't look, it wasn't his fault. He had put himself in the way.
"No, I ain't mad with Janie,"
Sop went around explaining.
"Tea Cake had done going crazy. You can't blame her for protecting herself. She was crazy about him. Look at the way she put him away. And I ain't got nothing in my heart against her. But the very first day that lap-legged nigga come back here, make it out he wasn't looking for work. He come asking me about how was Mr. and Mrs. Woods making out. That goes to show you he was up to something. So when Stewie even moved in, some of the rest of them got behind him, he come running to me to save him. I told him, don't come to me with your hair blowing back, because I'm going to send you. And I sure did. The bitches, baby."
That was enough. They eased their feelings by beating him and running him off. Anyway, their anger against Janie had lasted 2 whole days, and that was too long to keep remembering anything. Too much of a strain. They had begged Janie to stay on with them, and she had stayed a few weeks to keep them from feeling bad, but the muck meant Tea Cake, and Tea Cake wasn't there. So it was just a great expanse of black mud. She had given away everything in their little house except a package of garden seed that Tea Cake had bought to plant. The planting never got done because he had been waiting for the right time of the moon when his sickness overtook him. The seeds reminded Janie of Tea Cake more than anything else because he was always planting things. She had noticed them on the kitchen shelf when she came home from the funeral and had put them in her breast pocket. Now that she was home, she meant to plant them for remembrance. Janie stirred her strong feet in the pan of water. The tiredness was gone, so she dried them off on the towel. "Now that's how everything was, Phoebe, just like I told you. So I'm back home again, and I'm satisfied to be here. I done been to the horizon and back, and now I can sit here in my house and live by comparisons. This house ain't so absent of things like it used to be before Tea Cake come along. It's full of thoughts, especially that bedroom. I know all them sitters and talkers going to worry their guts into fiddle strings till they find out what we've been talking about. That's all right, Phoebe, tell them. They're going to make miration because my love didn't work like they love, if they ever had any. Then you must tell them that love ain't something like a grindstone that's the same thing everywhere and do the same thing to everything it touch. Love is like the sea. It's a moving thing. But still and all, it takes its shape from the shore it meets, and it's different with every shore. Lord, Phoebe breathed out heavily, I done growed 10 feet higher from just listening to you, Janie. I ain't satisfied with myself no more. I means to make Sam take me fishing with him after this. Nobody better not criticize you in my hearing. Now, Phoebe, don't feel too mean with the rest of them because they's parched up from not knowing things.
Them meat skins has got to rattle to make our days alive. Let them consolate themselves with talk. 'Cause talking don't amount to a hill of beans when you can't do nothing else. And listening to that kind of talk is just like opening your mouth and letting the moon shine down your throat. It's a known fact, Phoebe. You got to go there to know there. Your papa and your mama and nobody else can't tell you and show you. Two things everybody's got to do for themselves. They got to go to God, and they got to find out about living for themselves. There was a finished silence after that, so for the first time, they could hear the wind picking at the pine trees. It made Phoebe think of Sam waiting for her and getting fretful. It made Janie think about that room upstairs, her bedroom. Phoebe hugged Janie real hard and cut the darkness in flight. Soon everything around downstairs was shut and fastened. Janie mounted the stairs with her lamp. The light in her hand was like a spark of sun stuff washing her face in fire. Her shadow behind fell black and headlong down the stairs. Now in her room, the place tasted fresh again. The wind through the open windows had bloomed out all the fetid feeling of absence and nothingness. She closed in and sat down, combing road dust out of her hair, thinking. The day of the gun and the bloody body and the courthouse came and commenced to sing a sobbing sigh out of every corner in the room, out of each and every chair and thing. Commenced to sing, commenced to sob and sigh, singing and sobbing. Then Tea Cake came prancing around her where she was, and the song of the sigh flew out of the window and lit in the top of the pine trees. Tea Cake, with the sun for a shawl. Of course he wasn't dead. He could never be dead until she herself had finished feeling and thinking. The kiss of his memory made pictures of love and light against the wall. Here was peace. She pulled in her horizon like a great fishnet, pulled it from around the waist of the world, and draped it over her shoulder. So much of life in its meshes. She called in her soul to come and see.
We hope you've enjoyed this program from Harper Audio.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.